We'll be looking into the theme of faith for the next few months. We'll be looking at a couple of passages from the story of Abraham. The passage for today is Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 18. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 18. I will read it to you. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give it to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great tree of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. This is word of the Lord. Amen. So with the sermon title, Intimate Fellowship with God, I would like to share God's grace with you. Emptiness or loneliness is a growing problem in our culture. A study by the American Council of Life Insurers reported that the loneliest group in America are college students. I don't know if that's true. But next on the list are divorced people, welfare recipients, single mothers, housewives, and the elderly. And to point out how lonely people can be, Charles Swindoll, known as a Chuck Swindoll, an evangelical Christian pastor, he once mentioned an advertisement from a Kansas newspaper which said, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. And you know what? This person was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. Many people struggle with loneliness, from the rich and famous to the poor and unknown. John Whedon, director of the movie The Avengers, said, "Loneliness is about the scariest thing out there." Scientist Albert Einstein said, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." There's this saying that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. I think this is the echoes of a hollow life that pervade our culture. Before I came to New Jersey, I served in Boston, and I was doing a campus ministry in Boston, and I served a couple of different schools, a school like Harvard, MIT, Boston University, Tufts, Northeastern. So there's so many other schools that I served while I was in Boston. And I usually work with dental school students. They're graduate students, about to be dentists. They're smart people. They're smart students. Their family, they're rich, and they're good-looking, and they're even Christian. And it seems like they have everything. When I saw them, I was like, maybe God is not fair. Because to me, it seems like they have everything. They got the height. Well, I don't know why you're laughing, but I got the height too. So they got the height, they got the looks, and they got, you know, they got brain, and they're smart. Their families are rich, and they're so smart. You know, their families are rich that their parents can afford all the tuition, but they're so smart that they get 4-year scholarship from school. So I was like, this is not fair. It seems like they have everything. But the interesting thing is, when I was doing the counseling session with them, they were struggling with the problem of depression and suicidal thoughts. And I was like, why? I mean, it seems like they have everything. They seem like a 엄친아, 엄마 친구 아들. You know what that means, right? Yeah? Yeah, it seems like they have everything. But something is missing. And I found out that this is what, you know, Pastor Jimba has been always saying. Success without God is a tragedy. Success without God is a tragedy. And I found that that is really true as I was, you know, working with the students. They have everything, but they're missing out God. So they feel lonely. They feel empty. It seems like they got to the top, but it seems they feel empty in their hearts. And it's not just one or two students. There are many students like that. You know, people are dependent on what they see. People work hard to grab onto visible things that promises and guarantees their future. So people want to have all the things that can create their safe zone: wealth, education, reputation. You know, we have families, friends, place to work, school to study, nice warm house to rest, but sometimes we may feel empty or lonely. Probably this is how Abraham would have felt. He has his wife, his herdsmen, flocks, wealth. But Lot, who was like a son to Abraham, left him and tried to find a better living. Since Abraham didn't have a child at this point, Lot would have been more than just a nephew. But all of a sudden, without any hesitance, Lot left Abraham. So think about how Abraham would have felt. You know, to those who have a life of faith often face the same trials. Those who we trust sometimes do not understand us. Those who think we are good friends disappoint us. And sometimes even in our homes, our spouse, our family, seems like they do not know how we feel. And when we feel this way, it's like we live in the same house, but feels like being a separate family. So there's even a variety show in Korea called 동상 이몽. It means, you know, same bed or same household, but they dream different things. So we come to church to resolve the emptiness or loneliness in us. But there are many times that coming to church doesn't help us to resolve the issues in us. We pray, we sing, we listen to the sermon, and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, but we still feel empty and somehow lonely. But then why God allows such emptiness or loneliness to Abraham and to us? What does God want us to do when we feel that way? First, God wants you to meet him. If you look at verse 14, first part of verse 14, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him." After Lot left, God came to Abraham, who are in the loneliness and emptiness. What we want to focus here is that God came to Abraham. God came to Abraham, who is without company, cut off from others, and sad from being alone. But I want you to think about this situation. Does anyone feel the same way? Is there anyone who is going through difficult times and crying over the problems at home, work, and school? Do you feel like you're just standing alone? Then it is time for you to meet God. The reason why God allows such time of loneliness and emptiness is for him to come to you and speak to you. You know, maybe we're too busy that we don't have time to talk to God and listen to God. We say we want to glorify God through our lives, but we are not spending enough time to communicate with him. We come to church and have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but maybe we pay more attention to what people say than what God says. Even during the sermon, you know, time to listen to what God is saying through his word, we easily get distracted by our thoughts, emotions, text messages, Facebook, or Instagram. There are many distractions and barriers that hinders us to have an intimate relationship with God. This is why God puts you in a place of loneliness or emptiness in the crowd. Because what God is interested in is he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Some people can't stand being alone. They have to talk to someone. They have to meet someone. And always have to do something. But once in a while, we need time to be alone. But it's not to watch the sad movies or listen to the sad songs and to make you cry and become more emotional. But you need to take time to be alone and pay attention to his voice. It's because your faith will be strengthened when you encounter him and have intimate fellowship with him. So don't try to fill your emptiness or loneliness with TV or K-drama or K-pop or whatever, smartphone, Facebook. Don't reach out to people, but reach out to God. It is God's given time for you to pay attention to him. If you want your faith to grow, then have more time with God. Meet him and have fellowship with him. Be silent for a moment and give your ears to him. Then God, who came to Abraham, will come to you and speak to you, whether through prayer, meditating God's word, or through the sermon you hear. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2 says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him." God came to Abraham, who was lonely and empty, to meet him, to speak to him, and strengthen him. So don't feel empty or lonely during difficult times, but enjoy the time alone being with God. Woman of Samaria at the well, who have had five husbands, and the one now she has is not her husband, was feeling empty and lonely. But after encountering God, her life has changed. Zacchaeus, who was chief collector, tax collector, who was rich, had to climb up into a sycamore tree out of emptiness in him. But after encountering with Jesus, his life has changed. No matter how wealthy you are, how educated you are, how talented you are, these things will not quench our thirst. But meeting with God will quench our thirst and fill all of our emptiness and lowliness in us. And that is the true blessing. Psalm 139, verse 5 says, "The Lord never forgets us, and he never fails us. He finds us when we are forgotten, and he comforts us when we are alone. He hedges us behind and before and lays his hand upon us." And Hebrews 13, 5 says, "You're never alone. No, never alone. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Second, God wants you to see the vision. Verse 14, second part of verse 14 through 17 says this: "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, and eastward, westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." This is the covenant that God already made with Abraham in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." This is God's way to make us get up. Sometimes it feels like God is a harsh trainer. He doesn't say, "Oh, poor baby, are you lonely? Do you want to cry?" But rather than giving comfort, God gives bigger vision. He says, "I will give you more offspring and more land, so arise and walk." God allows loneliness and emptiness in our lives to come speak to us and give us or remind us of our vision. You know, this is exactly what I've experienced during my seminary years when I was having a really difficult time. God called me, of course, into the ministry. I have a strong calling. I have a clear calling from God. So that's why I obeyed and then went to the seminary. But my seminary years were really, really difficult. So there were many times that I had to question God. "God, did you really call me? Did you really call me? Is this something that I have to go through? Is this something that you really want me to go through?" And I had to complain. I was crying out to God, and this is something that I had to question and maybe doubt. But whenever I prayed to God with such heart, he never said, "Hey, John, it's okay." But he says, "It is I who called you." And he always reminded me of the calling that he has given to me. "Go and preach the gospel. I will make your name great in the world. Go and preach the world." And that was a vision that, God always reminded me. And I guess that was the power that guided me and led me to this point. God does not want you to be focused only on the problems, but he wants you to focus on him. God does not want you to see only the one side of the problem, but see the other side of the problem where God's will and purpose in that problem. when Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the land in the direction of Zoar, Lot is only looking towards the east side, only one side of the problem. Verse 11 says, so Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. But God wants Abraham to lift up his eyes to look northward, southward, eastward, westward. You know, realistically, settling in this promised land seems impossible. It may be hard to accept and understand this situation. But to Abraham, God is showing his vision that's beyond the reality and understanding. With our perspective, the land that Abraham is in is a dry desert land. But with God's perspective, it is a land that Abraham and his descendants will multiply and prosper. The reason why God told Abraham to lift up his eyes to look north, south, east, west, is to let Abraham to see the vision. All you see is a dry desert land, but Abraham was able to see the promised land with the eyes of faith. Likewise, we should be able to see the vision that God gives and be able to see our situation with the eyes of faith. Do not look at the future with the lens of doubt. Do not complain about the place where you stand, but look forward to the cross with the lens of faith and see the hope and glory that's behind the cross. Even if God has placed you in a terrible environment, be able to find the vision that God shows you in the midst of that time. When Apostle John was put in Patmos Island, he saw a bigger vision. That was a vision recorded in the book of Revelation. In a time alone, God always wants us to see a bigger vision which we couldn't see before. So rather than trying to do something to get rid of the feeling of loneliness or emptiness, through intimate relationship with God, recover and find your vision in your life. Third, God wants you to be a worshiper. Verse 18 says, so Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. This means he worshiped God. Abraham met and listened to God, and he found and recovered his vision. But this did not suddenly change the situation. He is still dwelling in the oaks of Mamre, which is a dry desert land. Nothing has changed. God told him to see the north, south, east, west, but nothing is visible yet. So at this point, Abraham was probably disappointed. Maybe he's doubtful. But rather than being disappointed, what Abraham chose to do is to build an altar for God. In other words, Abraham decided to worship God. Did you receive the promise or vision from God, but don't see any changes in your life? Rather than being disappointed by the unchanged situation, we need to be a faithful people who can build an altar for our Lord and just wait for him to speak. Wait for him to put into action. Abraham building an altar is an expression of trust, thanksgiving, and devotion. Worship is an expression and commitment that we will return to the God-centered living. We can overcome the gap between God's vision and reality through worship, thanksgiving, and devotion. Faithful people, do not leave the place of worship. What you should not give up at any moment is worshiping God. The more lonely and tough you are, the more you will have to worship before God. That is when we meet God more deeply. And you cannot recover if you leave the place of worship. So many times, you know, when you are tired, when you're not feeling well, not just physical health, but you're emotionally, you don't feel like going to church. Or maybe it's too nice out there. we don't want to come. There may be many reasons and temptation why we should not come to worship. But without worship, we cannot live a single day. Because without meeting him, without having fellowship with him, we cannot live a powerful Christian life. When you come to worship, you find your identity, you find your vision, you find a purpose in your life. And by having an intimate, deep relationship with God, you receive grace, you receive peace, and you begin to see the hope. Abraham, who was left alone, did not leave the place of worship. Abraham met God, who showed a greater vision in the moment of the loneliness. When we worship God wholeheartedly, then God will hold us, pour down grace upon us, and gives us the power. When we are disappointed in this land and face hardship and loneliness in our lives, God comforts and strengthens us through worship. So I pray that through the worship we give, we get to meet God, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and receive great joy and courage. I'd like to conclude my message. In England, there was a boy named Edward William Bourke who lost his parents, who grew up under his grandparents. He was very poor, so a young boy with a dream moved to America. He settled in Boston and set up a newsstand on the street. And he always remembered what his grandfather told him when he left. He says, "Make the place you stand be a place of blessing. Make the place you stand be a place of blessing." And he did not know what that means. But he started to wake up about 30 minutes earlier than others and set up a newspaper for 30 minutes first. And one day, Curtis Land, the president of the publishing company, who was buying a newspaper every day, saw that this boy was so sincere. So he hired him as a cleaner at his company. And he worked very sincerely, so he hired him as a full-time employee. And he worked hard and became the sales manager. And he was promoted to the chief of accounting. And Curtis, who was impressed with his sincerity and diligence, married his daughter and made him his son-in-law. Finally, he became the editor of the editorial department, the general manager, and finally, the president of the Gertie's publishing company. Make the place you stand be a place of blessing. This was the key phrase for Edward and also for Abraham. There was nothing to look at, and the place where they belong seems like a desert land. It seems like there's no hope. But they opened their eyes of faith and saw the place they're standing as a place of blessing. It is a blessing not because Abraham received the promised land, not because Edward became a president of the publishing company, but the place they stand was a place of blessing because that was the place where they met God. And when they met God, it was God who took care of the rest. May this be your faith. And have more intimate fellowship with God. And I want you to experience the true joy, peace, and blessing in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us. May this word be a living word so that we can live out this word. We can live out this faith that you have reminded us. And through our faith, may we glorify you and may we see your presence in our lives so that we can enjoy the true peace, joy, and blessing in our lives. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.